Well, once again, welcome to our midweek Bible study. We continue with our series on living by faith. This is now lesson 7 of that series, and the title is Faith and Confession. Before we go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. We pray that it will accomplish that which you've designated it to do. Help me, I pray, to yield to your Spirit, that your word may go forth with clarity and with the anointing of Almighty God, that we might be educated in this regard, and our spirit man might be energized to perform your works on this earth. In Yeshua's mighty name. Faith and confession. This is probably one of the key areas when it comes to faith. And it is, I might add, the subject of great attack by the enemy, because he knows just how powerful this is in the hands of God's people. One of the devil's techniques, I'm sure we are aware, is rumor. Gossip, I suppose it is. A misunderstanding of something put in a box and labeled something or other derogatory so that people will stay clear of it. And we have this happening with this whole subject of faith and confession. You might have heard of people speaking about name it and claim it. A misunderstanding of the faith message, that's what it's all about. Another phrase used sometimes, blab and grab. Well, there is an element of truth in that when it comes to faith. But what we need to say is this whole subject of developing our faith and the tongue is so critically important. And if it's understood properly, then we realize that this is God's plan. And so we are going to take a bit of time looking at faith and confession in detail. And you see, my belief is that once we understand it, then we won't fall prey to false claims about it, but we'll be able to use it for our great, great advantage. The first point I need to make in this regard is that the subject of faith, the mouth, and the human spirit throughout the Word of God are very often tied together. There is a vital connection. That is the subject of faith, the mouth, and the heart. Please note, the heart in this context refers to the spirit of a man. Your and my spirit, our faith level, and what we speak are very closely associated. Just as proof of this, let's go to Psalm 15, 1 and 2. That's Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. Lord, who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Speaks the truth in his heart. Psalm 19 verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Psalm 49 verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. In these three scriptures, we see the close connection between what we say and our spirit being. Let's go to John 6 verse 63. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see that? They are spirit and they are life. They affect the spirit man. Let's turn now to Romans 10, 8 to 10. And this is possibly the key scripture in this whole regard. Romans 10, 8 to 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Listen to this. For with the heart, that's the spirit, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Notice that this word confession is used. Now, it's important to understand that confession doesn't necessarily mean the confessing of our sins, although that is, on occasion, the purpose and the meaning. You see, that word confession can also be translated as profession. And what it actually means, the root of it is to agree. So when we profess something, the word of God, for example, we are agreeing not only with the word, but we are agreeing with God. We'll speak about this in more detail later on. But important to notice is that there's this connection, this divine connection between the spirit of the man, faith, and what we say, what we profess with our mouth. Now the question is why? The first thing we need to grasp, and this is really critical to this whole subject, we need to ask God for some understanding of the power of words. The power that is contained in the spoken word. Right at the beginning, Genesis 1:1-3, we read this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You see, when God speaks, it creates. And by extension, when you and I speak, things happen. Things are created. Let's shoot through to the New Testament, Hebrews 11:1-3. Once again, this is one of our key scriptures on the subject of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see that? The worlds were framed, created. It's the Greek word kartizo. From the scripture we notice a pattern. A, the existence of faith, and B, the word spoken, and C, things coming into being. Spoken words create. Spoken words create. As an aside, it's quite interesting to note that science, with its ability to look beyond even a microscopic level, discovered something. At first, atoms were discovered as the building blocks of all material, and atoms in turn were found to be made up of nucleus and electrons, and science was able to look closer into the actual nucleus of the atom, and they found what, from a layman's point of view, is called a quark. What was interesting about the quark is that it was discovered to be a sound wave. A sound wave. So, without displaying a complete ignorance of nuclear physics, matter, all matter, at heart, is built on sound. So it makes sense when God spoke that matter was created. It's something to think about. Now, when we read in Hebrews 4:12, we see something. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is a two-edged sword. Two-edged. The significance of a two-edged sword, apparently, is that it has both edges that are sharpened. And in a sense, it cuts going in and it cuts coming out. The significance for our purposes here is to recognize something. Whenever we speak the word of God, two things happen. Whenever we speak the word of God, two things happen. Let's look at Mark 11:22 to 23. O Lord, give us help to understand these things. Mark 11:22 to 23. And Yeshua answering said to them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now the point is, when we speak, when we release words, faithful words, they affect our surroundings. They influence the material surroundings about us. Just to illustrate this in a very simple way. In the course of the ministry, we obviously have visited many people and been in many houses. It's a funny thing. In a house where there's strife and where there's constant shouting and unhappiness, you can pick it up in the environment. In the same way, in a house where there's peace and calm and love, it reflects in a peaceable environment. The point is, the environment in the house, the spiritual environment, has been affected by what has constantly been said. But anyway, the extreme is here when you and I speak to a mountain, that mountain can be moved. Now, you and I probably have spoken to a mountain, told it to move, and nothing happened. Okay. Why? Well, please understand, when we speak, two things happen. And the one is the release of faith, and the other is the development of faith. Let's look at Romans 10:17. We've been here before as well. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith grows by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no more direct way to receive and hear the word of God in our spirit man than when we speak. When we speak the word of God, it develops faith in our heart because we hear. Our hearing facility and our speaking facility in the brain, physiologically, are closely located. When you and I speak the word, we hear the word in a way that we might not hear it any other way. Now you see, the point we're trying to make here is that, in a sense, your and my mouth operates as a faith factory. When we start to speak the word of God, we determine to speak the word of God, and speak the word of God, it develops our faith supernaturally. You see, Mark 9:23 and 24, Yeshua said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. The father cries out and says, Lord, help my unbelief, you see. Now, what we need to grasp here is this. That man needed to hear this lesson, like all of us. We might look at a situation and say, we know God can do it. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't really believe. You see? The answer to that problem is to start to speak. To speak the word of God on that subject. As we do that, our faith grows and grows to the place where we can believe. You see that? If we use our mouth correctly, we can develop our faith. Please understand, using the mouth in this way is not for the benefit of anybody else. It's not to try and impress everybody how we believe. It's best kept in the prayer closet, where we speak what we want to see, knowing that it develops our faith to the place where we can believe and where God can actually manifest. Let's look at it another way. In Luke 8:11, it speaks about the sower going out to sow. And remember, some of the seed fell on good ground, bad ground, profitable ground, etc. But when the disciples asked the Lord, what was this parable about? He made the statement, the seed is the word of God. Do you see that? In a sense, whenever we speak the word of God, we are sowing seeds in our spirit man. Every time we speak the word of God, we are sowing seeds in our spirit man. We are naming it, so to speak, with a view one day to claiming it, if you want to put it that crudely. Ephesians 5:26 speaks about the water of the word, you see, that he might sanctify, this is the church, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. In a sense, the word of God washes our mind. It washes our minds. It helps us to reformulate our thinking process. Now, what I need to explain is this, that, you see, when we use our mouths to produce faith, it has a snowball effect. These are very deep things. We have to just patiently go through them bit by bit. What do I mean by a snowball effect? Well, if you understand, a snowball effect is you start at the top of a hill. If you're in a climate where there's a lot of snow, you have a small ball of snow and you start to roll it. What happens then is that small surface area picks up more snow and the snowball becomes bigger. The greater surface area, the more snow is picked up, and it just grows and grows and grows. The growth is, in a sense, exponential. Now, let's look at it from the scriptures, all right? We have spoken about the scripture before. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did no profit for them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. All right? The word, they heard it, but it didn't help them because they had no faith. If they'd had some faith, if they'd combined it with faith, they would have received the word, and the result of that would have been their faith would have increased. Now, here's a very important principle. The more our faith grows, the easier it becomes to believe. Reading the word of God, at first you and I, beginner Christians, might struggle with it, because some things just don't line up with our brains. But as we take the time and continue in the word, and our faith grows, we are empowered to receive it much more easily. And when we receive it much more easily, our faith can grow a lot quicker. So you see, you and I, we start off, maybe we don't believe anything well, but we start to speak it. We speak the word of God. For example, challenged with some sickness or disease, the word says, by his stripes I was healed. At first it means absolutely nothing. But as we start to speak it, and speak it, and speak it, our faith, please, without us even realizing it, begins to grow supernaturally. And you see, as we continue, our faith grows. And as our faith grows, we're able to believe to a greater extent. That snowball effect takes place. You see? Now, here we are with our faith growing. That was the one side of the coin. The other side was speaking and seeing things happen. Why do you think when God spoke, let there be light, instantaneously there was light? Well, God has a tremendous, tremendous capacity to believe. His faith component, let me say it that way, is infinite. So you see, when he speaks something, it happens. That's the one end of the scale. On the other end, here is you and I. You see, the degree to which our circumstances will change will depend on the faith we release when we speak. Can I just say that again? Remember, faith changes, the spoken word combined with faith changes our surroundings, the material world, in fact, and the spiritual world. Now, the degree to which the material world will change when you and I speak is directly proportional to the level of faith we have in our spirit being. And you see, this is how it works. We are speaking in our own private capacity to develop our faith. We might speak to the mountain and we see nothing happen. But trust me, those quarks are picking up some degree of faith. We keep going. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Can you see that? As we grow in faith, we speak. As our faith grows, we speak with more and more authority. Now what starts to happen is that as our faith grows, when we speak, things begin to happen. You see? And the point is this, as our faith is allowed to grow, what happens becomes more and more evident. We start to see things happen around us as a result of speaking. Now you see, when you and I speak and you see the answer, that boosts our faith. And here we go, the snowball effect. As it boosts our faith, when we speak again and more things happen, we see things happen in front of our eyes, it boosts our faith. God's plan is that you and I walk as he did in real-time faith. Do you remember that incident? The man who was lame? Pick up your bed and walk. Instantly, the man took up his bed and walked. Can you see? That is a result of fully developed faith. Now, I need to just mention something here. You see, a lot of people will argue, oh, well, if you speak things that are not, you're actually lying. For example, if you say, by stripes I was healed, but you're actually suffering from some physical ailment, you are lying. We have to grasp something here, and that is this, that when we profess, we are not saying what we see, we are speaking what God thinks, the truth. There's a big difference between facts and truth. They're not necessarily the same thing, although they can, of course, be. The big difference is that facts are subject to change. You see, facts are subject to change. Truth, however, remains forever. Otherwise, it wouldn't be truth. You see, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When we speak the truth, the word about a situation, we are declaring what God thinks about it. You see, we are professing, we are in agreement with what God thinks about it. And you see, the truth which is eternal, for the reasons we've already spoken about now, will change the facts. You see, the fact might be that I'm suffering from some form of affliction. That might be the facts. But you see, the truth is what God thinks. And as far as God is concerned, that sickness was taken on the cross of Calvary. By the stripes of Yeshua, we were healed. Now I have a choice to decide which am I going to agree with, the facts or the truth. Can you see? And how do I agree with one or the other? By what I say. You see? So when I'm speaking over my body, by the stripes of Yeshua, I was healed. Even though I might be suffering from some acute pain, for whatever reason or other, what I'm doing is deciding to agree with what God thinks about it. That's the report I'm choosing to believe. You see? And here's the miracle. If we understand it correctly, by speaking, by continually speaking the truth, the facts which are subject to change line up. That is how faith works. You see, call it, name it, and claim it if you want. Strange to say, we're in good company when we do this. If you read in Romans about Father Abraham, you'll see a statement there. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verse 18. Abraham, as you know, God promised him that he'd be a father of many nations. And for many, many years, that promise seemed to not take place. But you see, Abraham chose to believe God. You see, I'm reading now from verse 17. I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who you believe, God. He gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Do you see that? That's how God operates. That's how he framed the world. The world did not exist. It existed in his spirit. For it to form, for it to materialize, he had to speak and released his faith. See, that's how the system works. In your and my life, we face problems, we choose to agree with God, and we speak what God thinks about it. In the process, our faith develops. We are speaking those things which in the natural are not, as though they were. You see, God also operates on the basis of name it and claim it. Blab and grab. Praise be to God. What I want us to understand is that this is not a small thing. John 14, verse 6. Yeshua said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, he is the truth. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. When we speak God's eternal word, We call the truth into a situation. If done in faith, remember, if done by releasing faith, and that faith growing, eventually, what's got to happen? The facts have got to line up. You see, when we speak these words of faith, Christ, who is our apostle and high priest of our profession, presents them to the Father. That's Hebrews 3 verse 1. Amen. You see, it's so important what you and I speak. When faced with a situation that doesn't bring happiness, doesn't line up with what we know God has promised, the way to get our faith operating in that situation is to begin to talk. Start speaking what God's word says. As we do that, a process, a supernatural process kicks in. A process whereby our faith grows. And what we might be saying to start off with a bit skeptically, we start to grow in confidence. Whereas what was, well, the Bible says, by his stripes I was healed, eventually becomes, I know, by the stripes of Yeshua, I was healed. I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Praise be to God. Continuance in his word produces faith. And when you and I present God with sufficient faith in our heart, God himself, the creator of the universe, is able to manifest in the way that he said he would. Praise God. Amen.